Hi, this is Brad Constantine, and you've reached the Book of Mormon Lecture Series. I've been teaching seminary and institute for the last 11 years, and this is an attempt to do a deep dive into the Book of Mormon itself. I'm hoping that you'll find this uplifting and edifying. This is not an official recording of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but every attempt has been made to be as doctrinally accurate as possible. So if you're ready for a deep dive into the Book of Mormon, here we go. Hi, and welcome back to the Book of Mormon podcast. My name is Brad Constantine, and this lecture will be on 1 Nephi chapter 18. Welcome back. This one is about the ship being built, being finished, and their travel across the ocean to the Americas, and some of the encounters that they have, the dangers that they face. At the end of the discussion, though, there's something significant about the animals that they find on the American continent, and the controversy over the horse. It's mentioned in the very last verse of this chapter, and we'll discuss that further when we get to there. Verse 1, it came to pass that they did worship the Lord and did go forth with me, and we did work timbers of curious workmanship. And the Lord did show me from time to time after what manner I should work the timbers of the ship. Now I, Nephi, did not work the timbers after the manner which was learned by men, neither did I build the ship after the manner of men, but I did build it after the manner which the Lord had shown unto me, wherefore it was not after the manner of men. This journey made by the families of Lehi and Ishmael to their land of promise was a scriptural type. Notice what's just been said here. As they could not trust their temporal salvation to a ship made after the manner of men, neither can we find our way to the lands of our eternal destiny and promise aboard a ship built and crafted by the mind and wisdom of men. Our trust cannot be in the arm of flesh. So as we are living our lives, we should not be trying to live them according to the manner of men, but the manner of God, that we should be relying upon the Lord. As Nephi built the ship after the manner of the Lord, we should build our lives after the manner of the Lord as well. Verse 3, and I, Nephi, did go into the mount oft, and I did pray oft unto the Lord, wherefore the Lord showed unto me great things. We should also have a place where we can go and pray often. And it came to pass that after I had finished the ship, according to the word of the Lord, my brethren beheld that it was good, and that the workmanship thereof was exceedingly fine. Wherefore they did humble themselves again before the Lord. The sweat and tears shed in the building of the ship were a sacrament, for the building of the ship was a form of worship and an act of faith. Verse 5, and it came to pass that the voice of the Lord came unto my father, that he should arise and go down into the ship. In the economy of heaven, revelations are granted according to one's stewardship or right to receive it. Revelations that effectually place someone in a position to manipulate or dominate others do not have heaven as their source. Verse 6, and it came to pass that on the morrow, after we had prepared all things, much fruits and meat from the wilderness, and honey in abundance, and provisions according to that which the Lord had commanded us, we did go down into the ship with all our loading and our seeds and whatsoever thing we had brought with us, every one according to his age. Wherefore, we did all go down into the ship with our wives and our children. The fact that Nephi doesn't mention his children specifically, and the fact that Nephi passed the plates along to his brother Jacob, may mean that he did not have sons. Don't know that for sure, but that's a possibility. I wonder too, later on when we talk about the various kings of Nephi, if one of his sons became a king. I don't know. Anyway, verse 7. Now my father had begat two sons in the wilderness. The elder was called Jacob, and the younger Joseph. I think I mentioned before, we know that Nephi had sisters. The fact that there's 15 years between Nephi and Jacob seems improbable. So there may be some other sisters born before Jacob, and certainly between Jacob and Joseph. Verse 8, and it came to pass that after we had all gone down into the ship and had taken with us our provisions and things which had been commanded us, we did put forth into the sea and were driven forth before the winds toward the promised land. And after we had been driven forth before the wind for the space of many days, behold, my brethren and the sons of Ishmael and also their wives began to make themselves merry, insomuch that they began to dance and to sing and to speak with much rudeness, yea, even that they did forget by what power they had been brought thither, yea, they were lifted up unto exceeding rudeness. In other words, they were probably being vulgar or coarse or very harsh. Verse 10, and I, Nephi, began to fear exceedingly, lest the Lord should be angry with us and smite us because of our iniquity, that we should be swallowed up in the depths of the sea. Wherefore I, Nephi, began to speak to them with much soberness, but behold, they were angry with me, saying, we will not that our younger brother shall be a ruler over us. And it came to pass that Laman and Lemuel did take me and bind me with cords, and they did treat me with much harshness. Nevertheless, the Lord did suffer it, that he might show forth his power unto the fulfilling of his word, which he had spoken concerning the wicked. And it came to pass that after they had bound me insomuch that I could not move, the compass which had been prepared of the Lord did cease to work. That should have been a clue right there that there was a problem. Wherefore, they knew not whither they should steer the ship, insomuch that there arose a great storm, yea, a great and terrible tempest, and we were driven back upon the waters for the space of 3 days. And they began to be frightened exceedingly, lest they should be drowned in the sea. Nevertheless, they did not loose me. And on the fourth day, which we had been driven back, the tempest began to be exceedingly sore. And it came to pass that we were about to be swallowed up in the depths of the sea, and after we had been driven back upon the waters for the space of 4 days, my brethren began to see that the judgments of God were upon them, and that they must perish, save that they should repent of their iniquities. Wherefore they came unto me and loosed the bands which were upon my wrists, and behold, they had swollen exceedingly, and also mine ankles were much swollen, and great was the soreness thereof. Nevertheless, I did look unto my God, and I did praise him all the day long, and I did not murmur against the Lord because of mine affliction. Joseph Smith said, "Now for persons to do things merely because they are advised to do them, and yet murmur all the time they are doing them, is of no use at all. They might as well not do them. There are those who profess to be saints who are too apt to murmur, and find fault when any advice is given, which comes in opposition to their feelings, even when they themselves ask for counsel, much more so when counsel is given unasked for, which does not agree with their notion of things. But, brethren, we hope for better things from the most of you. We trust that you desire counsel from time to time, and that you will cheerfully conform to it, whenever you receive it from a proper source." Verse 17, "Now my father Lehi had said many things unto them, and also unto the sons of Ishmael. But behold, they did breathe out much threatenings against anyone that should speak for me. And my parents, being stricken in years, and having suffered much grief because of their children, they were brought down, yea, even upon their sick beds." I imagine with the storm and the tossing of the sea, they're probably kind of seasick as well, aren't they? 18, "Because of their grief and much sorrow and the iniquity of my brethren, they were brought near even to be carried out at this time to meet their God. Yea, their gray hairs were about to be brought down to lie low in the dust. Yea, even they were near to be cast with sorrow into a watery grave. And Jacob and Joseph also, being young, having need of much nourishment, were grieved because of the afflictions of their mother. And also my wife and her tears and prayers, and also my children, did not soften the hearts of my brethren, that they would loose me. And there was nothing, save it were the power of God, which threatened them with destruction, could soften their hearts. Wherefore, when they saw that they were about to be swallowed up in the depths of the sea, they repented of the thing which they had done, insomuch that they loosed me. And it came to pass that after they had loosed me, I took the compass, and it did work whither I desired it. And it came to pass that I prayed unto the Lord. And after I had prayed, the winds did cease, and the storm did cease, and there was a great calm. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, did guide the ship, that we sailed again towards the promised land. And it came to pass that after we had sailed for the space of many days, we did arrive at the promised land, and we went forth upon the land, and did pitch our tents, and we did call it the promised land. And it came to pass that we did begin to till the earth, and we began to plant seeds. Yea, we did put all our seeds into the earth, which we had brought from the land of Jerusalem. And it came to pass that they did grow exceedingly. Wherefore, we were blessed in abundance. And it came to pass that we did find upon the land of promise, as we journeyed in the wilderness, that there were beasts in the forests of every kind, both the cow and the ox and the ass and the horse, and the goat and the wild goat, and all manner of wild animals which were for the use of men. And we did find all manner of ore, both of gold and of silver and of copper." And that'll be important later on when they begin to make the plates. Now, regarding the horse, let me just read you a couple of things here about this. If Joseph Smith had been writing the Book of Mormon instead of translating it from ancient records, he would have been very foolish to have included references to horses on the American continent in Book of Mormon times. In 1830, nearly all the historians and scholars were convinced there had been no horses on the American continent before the coming of Columbus. After the Book of Mormon was published, however, archaeological discoveries were made that clearly indicate that horses were in the Americas before Columbus arrived. In the asphalt deposits of Rancho La Brea in Southern California, numerous fossil remains of horses have been found that antedate Book of Mormon times. Although these discoveries do not absolutely prove horses were in the Americas in the time period covered by the Book of Mormon, which is between 2600 BC and AD 421, they do prove horses were there before the coming of Columbus. Some scientists have now accepted the possibility that horses and men lived concurrently in the Americas before the coming of Columbus. Franklin S. Harris, Jr. quotes the zoologist Ivan Sanderson as saying, "There is a body of evidence, both from the mainland of Central America and even from rock drawings in Haiti itself, tending to show that the horse may have been known to man in the Americas before the coming of the Spaniards." And so we have evidence here, archaeological evidence as well, that horses were here before Columbus and before the people that came from Europe. Another evidence that Joseph Smith was translating this record and not writing it himself, because as was mentioned, he would not have said anything about horses because it was believed by his contemporaries that there were no such thing. So another evidence that the Book of Mormon is true, of which I testify in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you like this podcast, share it and with all the others. Thanks. Bye. See you next time.